Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and very happy to be joining you from the Lineup Media Group studios. We are, of course, Youth Baseball Talk, and you can learn a whole lot more about us at youthbaseballtalk.com. Get to our website. You can see some of the past episodes if you're new to the show or if you've heard a few of them and you'd like to get caught up on our back catalog. We're moving into over 50, 60 episodes, of course, now, and lots of great information. Very lucky and fortunate to have some of the guests we have and provide you this information on the wonderful game of youth baseball. Really appreciate all the contact we get from you guys on Twitter. At Podcast Baseball is the easiest way to get a hold of us through there. Really pick up a lot of great content from great instructors, fans, coaches, parents, kids. We really get a pulse on the things that are going on within the world of youth baseball that sometimes need addressed. Facebook is always really a great way to communicate. Facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. Really pick up a lot of great things, especially from some of the better instructors around the country posting some of the great videos. That's where I met our good friend Domingo Ayala, which has turned into a great segment for us. And of course, if you email us, info@youthbaseballtalk.com, I'm happy to address whether it be issues or things that you may or may not agree with on the show, as it always makes for great, great conversation. Best way to keep up with what we're doing is just to subscribe to the show. You just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet, and just click the subscribe button. As always, we'd appreciate a rating, especially if you feel like 5 stars worthy of our effort. Again, I mentioned that I'm coming to you from the Lineup Media Group studios. A tremendous amount of content available at lineupmediagroup.com. Great shows, depending on whatever your entertainment flavor is, and they're constantly updating their portfolio. If you like baseball, of course, I always mention Pete Caliendo does a great show. The Bleacher Bums, if you're probably involved in youth baseball, you're probably very interested in what's going on around the world of Major League Baseball. The Bleacher Bums do a great job of talking about some of the lighter things that are going on. They also address controversial issues, hot topics, say some of the things that people are thinking but don't want to say out loud. It's a really great show. You can kind of get opinionated with it. They talk a lot about fantasy baseball, which I know is real popular, but it's just basically an opportunity to view the game through the eyes of a couple of bleacher bums. So it's really a fast and moving show within the Lineup Media Group rank. So give it a listen. And of course, if you want to help support my show, I'd really appreciate you guys going to youthbaseballtalk.com. Climb that Amazon banner on the lower right. Click it. Do your shopping through Amazon there. And I get a referral, and it doesn't cost you a thing. Kind of helps us keep the show rolling and, get some of the shameless plug stuff out of the way, you know. So, again, really appreciate all you guys and everything you do to help us keep the show on the air. This week's show is a continuation of the wonderful interview that I had with Coach Dave Holt. A wonderful guy that's basically, as some of us like to throw this term around, a baseball lifer, which those guys are the guys that we look at and we think, you know what, they've basically spent their whole life within the game of baseball. They have a lot to offer. Some guys, give their life to baseball and then they kind of ride off into the sunset and they just want to do something else. Some guys have the opportunity to play baseball at a very high level, coach it at a very high level, and then they get to a point where they give back and they say, you know what, I'm going to help kids. And that's what Coach Dave Holt has done. Last week we talked a little bit about some of the issues that are going on within the world of youth baseball, and it's always great to hear from guys like Coach Holt. But he has a wonderful website, coachandplaybaseball.com, where he addresses all kinds of topics and issues and things that you generally find yourself asking questions about, and a lot of how-to stuff and a lot of, there's some opinion stuff in there. There's some great trial and error stuff in there. But the most powerful thing in there for me is there's a coaching, a free coaches evaluation and camp in there that you can really learn a lot and try to become a better coach, which we always talk about on here. So make sure you go to coachandplaybaseball.com and kind of follow along. But again, the first last week's episode, the first portion of the interview, we talked a lot about some of the issues going on. And now this week we're going to play part two of our interview with Coach Dave Holt, where we dive in a little bit more into coachandplaybaseball.com and how it can help you and your little leaguer become all the baseball player he can be. I hope you enjoy this second half of the interview with Coach Holt. All right, back here with Coach Dave Holt and his talking about his wonderful playing career, and then which transformed into an even more outstanding coaching career that's led him to helping the youth, whether they be really younger kids or older kids, find out where their place in the game is and kind of where they're going. So I want to welcome in Coach. How you doing, Coach?
Great to be here, Jim.
I want to, as I just mentioned, I want to really start talking a little bit more now about coachandplaybaseball.com. As I mentioned in the first half of the show, this website basically has a little bit of everything depending on what your place is in the game. There's no way that this website happened overnight. So I'm sure with your coaching career, you became part of that new age of information and you had to get it out. So tell us a little bit about kind of how coachandplaybaseball.com started.
Sure. Yeah. Back in, I kind of finished up professional baseball managing in, mid to late 90s, and then kind of went into a training center, baseball training center, and lessons and baseball camps for a while. And that evolved into kind of a summer wood bat college league franchise ball club where we bring in college players to play in the summer. And then I kind of started pivoting a little bit toward professional baseball and looking at the youth baseball. And gosh, I was just like amazed at how, I know my dad growing up was always a little bit critical of how things were done in youth baseball. And he always tried to help out, get free youth baseball coaching clinics and stuff. So I kind of like started doing some coaching clinics and things of that nature. I started writing down some things and started developing a few products. And ever since then, I guess 10 years later from there, late 2008, around in there, started the website 2010, started writing my articles and posting them up on the website. And kind of all centered around a coaching approach and a mindset and how you look at how youth baseball coaches and parents kind of should look at baseball through player development eyes. And so all of my writing and things are kind of from that perspective. I try to give a lot of lists, a lot of suggestions, a lot of ideas, a lot of way to handle coaching. Not saying I know it all, but I think somebody could probably get a little bit out of it. I don't care if you're a first year rookie coach in T-ball or someone that's been doing it 5, 6, 7 years or longer. I think I have some good things. There's even some high school sections on there. I did high school for 4 years, and not saying I'm the best high school coach ever, but we were very successful, and I kind of built a little program over 4 years that did really well. And loved working with high school age, but just kind of looking through the lenses of a player development person in the youth baseball area. And so many of our adults, we talked about before, that look at it as a win at all cost. How do I win? How do I win this game? How do I win this tournament? And kind of everything is feathered toward that, where kind of like a major league model, where this should be more of a minor league model, where you're developing players and looking out for long-term benefits from them. And that's kind of where it is. That's what it's all about. And there's just a number of things you can read there for free. And there's a few things you can even buy too.
Yeah. I mean, like I was mentioning earlier, there's no way I'm just very impressed at the different topics that you touch on, and this couldn't have been done overnight. So my guess is reading this as a guy that's, so interested in the game and where it's going and how we fix things and how we become better at things. And I appreciate you earlier saying they are suggestions. You're not saying that you are right. I mean, you mentioned it more than once that you're not perfect, but that's the approach. These are suggestions. If you want to take them, take them. If you want to throw them in the trash, do what you want with them. But if you on your main page, all you got to do, like I said, coachandplaybaseball.com. When you get on there, you're going to see right away, depending on what your role is in this game. I mean, you could be the player, you could be the parent, you could be the coach, you could be the completely educated dad or mom, you could be the uneducated dad or mom. There's something in here for you. You kind of get down you know, you know, some of these, and you know, you're no dummy. Some of these things are hot, and I mean, it makes people ask the questions. I mean, you get down and you're like, our youth baseball model has a problem. Don't wait any longer. These are things that, and what I like is, you know, it's up to you to fix our broken system. So we talk about this broken system, and we talk about where we're going. How do we fix it?
Well, doggone, I wish I was smart enough to figure all that out, but I think the whole mindset of the adults, and I think that's what brings the problems, and I think the kids are fine, but I think it's driven by winning, and it's intoxicating for parents to be around that, and they don't have enough foresight or background or experience to look down the road. I mean, these kids are 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, and they can't see 10 years later when, hey, is my child still going to be hanging around into this game when they're 16, 17, or 18? And how are we going to bridge that? What kind of development does the kid need, my kid need, or all the kids need to progress and get their skills, hitting skills, throwing skills, ball handling skills, baseball knowledge to a point where, you know, they can still compete when they're 13, 14, 15 and still hang in the game and have some enjoyment out of it. And so I think until we change the mindset of the adults and make them kind of look, approach this as this is a minor league development age level, and not get so infatuated by the wins and losses. You know, I think that's got to be one thing. And how do we change that? You know, like we were talking earlier, it's some folks believe it's just un-American unless you're trying to beat the snot out of the guy next to you're playing against. There's just a way you have to approach baseball by looking at player development rather than, hey, this is the seventh game of the World Series and we got to win this at all costs. And I don't care who we have to pitch. I don't care how much they pitched yesterday or the day before. Our ace guy is going to pitch 5 innings and we could care less about his health. Or, you know, we're going to not let the kids play different positions because we want this best shortstop to be playing shortstop every day and nobody else can play shortstop. So, you know, you need to play a lot of different positions. You need a lot of pitchers to get in the pipeline. And, you know, we'll try to win with that element, with that lineup. But if we don't, we don't. And really, in the whole scheme of things, I say this quite a bit, and it's like you're going to get – I've gotten poked at, too, that you're something's wrong with you. But winning games when you're 14 and under – is almost irrelevant. You know, I'd never tell the players that, but it's really, it doesn't really have factor in. The things that factor in are how well the kid can throw. How is he going to be able to throw the ball when he's 13, 14 across that 90-foot diamond? Is he going to be able to hit the ball in the outfield? Is he going to be able to throw some strikes? Going to be able to handle some premier positions? And those are the kind of things that, you know, we need to focus on and give kids development in. And if we can, then, you know, the winning will take care of itself. So if you develop players, that you don't even have to worry about the winning.
You know, there's a saying that really equates to where you should be trying to get, and that is talent plays. And I think parents sometimes, and this isn't a good thing either, but I think sometimes when you get to that quote-unquote next level, you see some kids that are playing that, you know, people want to knock the kid, or they want to say, you know, well, he's not a good kid, or he's not this. But the reality, that, you know, I can't believe he's playing. He's this or that. But guess what? Talent plays. So shouldn't we be more worried about making sure our kid has the talent and we help him realize his talent level? I mean, to me, you know, raising a child to be, you know, is a parent's job, of course, right? I mean, that's our job as a parent. Coaches have a big influence on kids. I've always said that. Don't underestimate the influence you have. So, you know, let's make sure we're helping these guys. And you use the game of baseball as life lessons, right? So, you know, let's help these kids become great kids. But at the end of the day, that's the thing that you know, like these guys that want to complain about winning, look, we are. I mean, we're trying to, we want to, talent plays. I mean, we're trying to develop kids that can go up there and get it done at that next level. You know, and one of the things on your site that I see is, and this is kind of where I always kind of fell in, and it's a just staggering number, and you see it more and more all the time, and I think it's kind of a shock thing, a shock and all, because we're trying to, I understand why they put the numbers out. It's almost like you're trying to scare parents or some of these coaches into doing it the right way, and that's the whole, like, 75% of youth players are out of the game by 14. I mean, you know, there are staggering numbers of how many kids actually play high school baseball versus youth. And then obviously, and you know, it becomes talent sometimes too, but then the number into college and then the number into the pros, I mean, it obviously staggers way down. I remember a few years ago with my coaches looking at our team, and we had, you know, 11 kids. And I had just talked to somebody about this, and I looked at one of my coaches and I said, you know, according to the numbers, 3/4 of these kids won't even want to play high school baseball. If that happens, I'm going to be sad and feel like I completely failed. I mean, I will feel like as a coach, I completely failed these kids if 3/4 of them don't want to play anymore. I mean, that's what I felt my role was.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. But, yeah, the numbers are staggering. I think after 12 years old, you know, the playing field gets bigger. There's no doubt that it gets really, really hard to play. And that 13 and 14 year old age level, you know, the body sometimes doesn't catch up to the playing dimensions. And you take a 12 year old that plays in a little comfortable dimensions and it has some success, but yet has a lot of flaws in their throwing and their hitting and body athleticism. And then they transfer to that bigger field at 13 and 14. All of a sudden, this game gets really, really hard to play. Gets really, really hard to find success. Gets almost embarrassing to some kids because you just, you know, they got to bounce the ball across the field or can't hit it past the infield, and then playing time might be affected. And you know, when you're sitting on the bench, nobody wants to do that. It gets kind of embarrassing, and the parents kind of back off with their praise. So 75% after 12 years old. It is. I think that's pretty legit. A lot of it is like you're taking a little personal responsibility for it, but a lot of it's just natural athleticism and maturity. And some kids are going to athletically adjust and develop and get better, you know, be able to run, throw, and do those kind of things. And body type's going to develop. And some kids are just athletically aren't going to make the grade. And there's nothing really wrong with the people like that. It's just that athleticism is just not there enough to be able to compete when you're 15, 16 years old. So a lot of kids, I think, just drop off because of the lack of success and their skill level's not developed and their athleticism just doesn't catch up enough. So there's just a natural kind of a, I don't know if survival of the fittest is the way to say it, but there's a real screening out that goes on after 12 years old, and some of it is from lack of coaching, but it's like you say, you're taking that responsibility, but some of it's just natural. It's going to happen.
I want to encourage everybody to make sure they go to coachandplaybaseball.com, as I believe that there is something on here for everybody depending on what your role is in the game. Coach, if there was, you know, if our listeners go to your website, you know, give us one thing on your website that they could check out that would really give them a feel for both, not only who you are, but kind of what you're doing, what they could get out of being a part of coachandplaybaseball.com.
Well, I think there's a parent section there. I think if any parent, baseball parent that was just on the sidelines, I think there's a lot of information there just to kind of give you some ideas of how to look at this game and how to look at this development situation and, you know, how to approach the winning and keep things in perspective. If you're a coach, there's tons of articles and things and topics to help you, whether it's organizing practice, some ideas for that, whether it's handling a preseason team meeting. It's just communication skills with your players, and just developing an approach, a coaching approach, and And I think the more solid your coaching approach is when you go in, I think when you hit rough waters during the season, you'll be able to, you know, maybe handle discussing things with a parent, discussing things with players, and trying to find ways to make the game enjoyable and the practices enjoyable. And like you said a while ago, I want to try to do things as a coach. I don't want to be my player's last coach. I want him to continue on, and I'm going to do everything I can to make him really enjoy baseball, love the game of baseball, and hopefully get better at the game of baseball. And I really come from a positive coaching approach, a style. I think there's the game is so full of failure. There's striking out and errors and base running boo-boos all the time. There's going to be mistakes, and you can just get to where you're just constantly hammering on kids because of so many things go wrong. And it becomes almost like a 2-hour timeout. You're just yelling at the kids and getting on them and scolding them and so much, because there's so much stuff you can nitpick at them. So I try to share with them that, you know, overlook the failures a little bit because they're going to happen, and try to find some good positive things and do what you have to do to try to make it just a blast for those kids to be on your ball club, and hopefully they'll want to sign up again next year. So things are kind of in that vein, to try to tools to kind of help coaches, help parents kind of have a mindset. I mean, if a player wanted to look at things, there's some things on hitting and pitching and things like that, that as a general fashion that help your mindset. So a ball player could actually go on it and scout around and look for some good things too. So it kind of touches on the whole cross section. You hope some administrators look at it as far as board members and things like that, to kind of develop their leagues to look at player development rather than trying to create a win at all cost mentality. I go back to Mike Matheny's manifesto. What they've asked kids, what do you want your children to do or the children are asked, what do you want your parents to do when they come to ball games? And they say the overwhelming response is nothing. The kids don't want the parents to say anything. Just watch the game. That's enough for just to be there and support. But don't get too carried away with coaching from the bleachers and suggestions from the bleachers and just kind of sit quiet and give a little golf clap here and there and enjoy the kid watching the kids. But don't get too overwhelmed and emotionally attached to the outcomes of the games.
What I'd like to do is challenge, you know, I always have a challenge on here each week, because I know, you know, obviously, especially these days with welcoming Domingo as part of our show, we have more and more actual players listening, which I think is great, because I think when they come to that age where they start making their own decisions and it's not mom and dad so much, I mean, the kid really becomes real involved in decisions. We want to make sure we're giving them the great information, but the coaching is still a big part of the show and kind of where I think a lot of this emphasis lies, because at the end of I've said it once, I'll say it again. I mean, we got to do a better job as coaches, all of us. That means whether it's me coaching a 13U team or you coaching an 8U team or this guy coaching high school kids or whatever. I mean, again, I always say never underestimate that moment when you're going to make a difference in a kid's life. And it might be baseball, but it might be life, right? So what I want to do is I want to challenge every coach that's listening to this show. You offer a free coaching course, and I want to challenge everybody to go to coachandplaybaseball.com and take this free it's a 4-day baseball coaching course. And I'm assuming it's done online, right? You ask for their coaching experience, right? So, if our guys do this, what is it they can expect from this?
Well, it's just it's kind of just a little kind of gives you just a little glimpse of what else I have. It kind of gives you like you just get a blurb every 4 days. You'll get an email, couple page little printout to kind of go over a few topics, like you're setting up your coaching approach and setting up your practices, and just kind of gives you some parameters to think about how to build your mindset, your coaching approach, your style, and kind of gives you just a framework to kind of build your coaching foundation? Is it a thorough, like 30-day, 90-day course that's got everything broken down like some of the other people do? No, it's just kind of like a little free, little kind of get your tongue, a little taste on this, and get your mind around some of the things that I need to kind of build myself on. And then if you want to go back and read some more on my site, there's things, and then there's other things that if you decide you want to purchase a little bit, you can do that. But it just sort of kind of gets your engine running a little bit, maybe for a guy that hasn't coached very much, just some things to think about and some of the things that are going to run across and some of the things that he needs to be prepared to kind of maybe jot down on paper a little bit to have an idea who I am, why am I doing this? What's the end game? What do I want my players to get out of this? And just how to approach the game. So it just sort of, I think just it's a spur, kind of spurs your mind, your ideas to say, hey, I better sit down and think this over a little bit. And maybe I was doing it this way. Maybe I should look at it this way. And just gives you a perspective to kind of guide you, to keep you on the road for not teetering off too far. So I think it's worthwhile. Is it a game changer? I don't know. You know, it's just a brief. It's pretty brief. It's going to come about 4 days in a row to your email account. I think I even added 3 or 4 more articles on there. So you might get stuck to hear from me for about a week straight, and then I'm out of your way.
Well, I know a lot. We have a lot of coaches out there that really do want to get better, and they want to do all this kind of stuff. So, I encourage everybody to do so. You know, I mean, it's a help. You know, for me, it's always good to hear from other guys, especially guys that have done it at a high level. So, you never know when somebody's going to say something that changes how you approach it, right? So, guys, really go online, check it out. Do me this favor: at least do us the service of at least checking it out. I know people get leery sometimes of things, but it doesn't take any time, it doesn't take any money to check something out and realize that maybe we can do better. So. Coach, I really, really appreciate what you're doing. I'd love to try to keep the lines of communication open with you. I think what you have to offer, whether it be to players, coaches, or parents, is fantastic stuff. We're a people that craves information and is always looking for a better way to do stuff. We got to break that whole mold that we're going to do it this way because this is the way it's always been done. I think I've been fortunate enough to be involved both with the show and through the game of baseball of people that are breaking those barriers. I think you're one of them, and I'd love to, like I said, I'd love to hear back from you from time to time and kind of see what you're doing.
Awesome, Jim. I listen to you guys all the time. You have such great topics and guests on, and I'm just honored to be a part of that. I'm just glad you called me.
No, I'm always looking for guys that are making a difference when it comes to the game, especially when it comes on the youth side. And when I can have a guy like yourself on that is doing that, and you've basically lived the life, it's an extra bonus for me. So, Coach, I wish you nothing but continued success. Do you have anything else for us? Social media stuff? Any other way people can kind of follow you and see what you're doing?
Yeah, I got a few things like that. I don't mainly go through the website, and you can contact me through there if you need to, and just scout out my stuff there. Starting to get a little bit on some of the social things, Facebook and things. I'll try to get that going in the next year or so, built back up. But I'm not to the level you are with the Facebook and all that stuff yet, but I'm working that way.
Well, you got to, because it seems like if you want to communicate with these kids anymore, you got to make sure you're on there. But Hey, I feel younger though. You know what I mean? Being on there so much. But hey, listen, your stuff's fantastic. Like I said, I'd love to keep the lines of communication open. You know, all of our listeners, you can be looking for stuff from me coming out through my social media. Again, what you're going to see a lot from me is my challenge to all of our coaches out there to at bare minimum go to coachandplaybaseball.com, see what you're all about to the parents and kids. But I'd love to see some of my coaches go out there and sign up for your free coaching class. So, Coach, thanks for everything you do for the game of baseball, and especially thanks for everything you do for our kids.
Jim, my pleasure, and thank you. You're the one that's driving this train here, so you keep it up.
That's Coach Dave Holt and his wonderful talking about his wonderful career in the game of baseball, and of course his new his venture with CoachAndPlayBaseball.com. Again, I can't say enough how I challenge you to go to this website and see what he. I mean, there is so much information on there. We find ourselves in this world of Google typing in stuff all the time and doing all this, and that's great. And that I encourage everybody to do that. Like I say all the time, very blessed to have guests on every week that offer a different perspective on different things. And then, of course, usually in the second half of our show, you always hear from the guys like Justin Stone and Rick Strickland and things like that. But when you can go somewhere like Coach Holt's website, coachandplaybaseball.com, and really get some information on basically any topic when it comes to what it is you're doing. And I say you're doing because just like I am, you're involved in it knee deep, right? Otherwise you wouldn't be listening. So go there, check it out. Love to hear your comments. Make sure you get back to me on it. And of course, contact Coach Holt. It's very easy to do, or you can contact me with anything you have, and I'd be sure to pass it along to him, or we can have a discussion about it behind the scenes as always. And I welcome that. So great stuff as always from Coach Holt. So we're going to take a quick break, hear from a couple sponsors, pay some bills. And when we come back, of course, we'll hear from everybody's favorite, Domingo Ayala, and his theory of baseball is brought to you by The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you go to thepitchhitter.com. It's a great, wonderful training device that you're going to find, speaking of youth, that helps kids learn how to throw strikes. And if you heard my rant last week, I think one of the problems is we just call too many pitches strikes that aren't strikes. How are you supposed to get better at anything if we're just going to let people get away with mediocrity? This device, in my opinion, if we had it at 8, 9 years old, it would have helped so many kids. Don't take advantage of it. My kids aren't 8 or 9 anymore. I have kids that could benefit from it right now at 13, I assure you. Make sure you go to thepitchhitter.com and check it out, and we thank them for bringing you Domingo. After that, of course, we'll hear from Justin Stone and Rick Strickland. See you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com, that's gatewaydreamfields.com, or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Really appreciate you sticking with us through the break there, and hope you really enjoyed the part two of the episode with Coach Dave Holt. Wonderful information from a wonderful guy. CoachAndPlayBaseball.com is where you can find him and all his wonderful information. Speaking of wonderful information, the guy that's never short on trying to help you become the player that you can be is our good friend Domingo Ayala and his Theory of Baseball, brought to you by The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you go to thepitchhitter.com. This wonderful device will help you and your little leaguer become a better pitcher, a better baseball player, give you more confidence. It's a great tool to use at your practices and maybe set up on the sidelines for games, allow them to warm up with that batter in the box, help them throw more strikes. A new offer, and special thanks to The Pitch Hitter, a special offer for all Youth Baseball Talk listeners. Go to thepitchhitter.com. When you put in your promo code, you're going to put in YBT, basically short for Youth Baseball Talk, you're going to receive $50 off The Pitch Hitter. You're going to get The Pitch Hitter for a special price for Youth Baseball Talk listeners only of $99.99. So special thanks to The Pitch Hitter as they bring you a great training tool for your little leaguer, and they bring you Domingo Ayala and his Theory of Baseball Weekly here on Youth Baseball Talk. Domingo, tell us all about that coach's kid.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you to The Pitch Hitter. Improve your game by using The Pitch Hitter in your practice routine. Now, today I want to talk about the famous coach's key. Where do I start? Everyone know about the coach's key. This the guy that plays shortstop and bats lead off every game, but he also makes 4 errors a game, and he bats a buck 20, but he's in every day because his daddy right up the lineup. That's why some people call it daddy ball. Now, sometimes the coach's kid a good ball player, but that's rare. I'm talking about the ones that take up all the playing time away from the good player. Like one time I'm on a team, and I had to play second base, and now I'm watching him make all the error at shortstop. I'm like, hey, Mr. Coach, your son no good. I can't put a stuffed animal there, and it's going to be better than your kid. But the toughest part about this is there's not much you can do. Sometimes you just have to ride out the season and just find another team next year. So my advice for this gym, for players going through this, is just don't let it get you down. Don't worry about it. Soon you're going to be playing for a real coach who knows how his kid on the team. And if you're lucky enough, you're going to play in the professional baseball. But don't be fooled. You may not have a coach's kid, but you're going to have a bonus baby. And those are pretty much the same thing. So maybe this is all just a preparation for when you make it to professional baseball. So that's my advice about dealing with the coach's kid. Is just don't let it get you down. Because everyone knows it's not your fault. Well, thank you for the time, Jim. And thank you again for The Pitch Hitter for helping me throw strikes every time.
Thanks a lot, Domingo, and you are correct. Coach's kid is the toughest thing to be in baseball. I don't envy him at all, especially my own son. Special thanks to The Pitch Hitter, and of course, their great new offer for all Youth Baseball Talk listeners of a $50 savings by using the promo code YBT at thepitchhitter.com. Get one today and help your little leaguer become the best pitcher he can be. All right, let's take it on over to our good friend Justin Stone with his majestic corner, Elitebaseball.tv, tip of the week, great topic that a lot of you have asked about as it affects so many little leaguers, and that's pitch selection. Take it away, Justin.
And we've spent a great deal of time over the past 6 months talking about hitting mechanics. And then as we got into the season, we talked a lot about the timing aspect of the swing. Once those two things, we feel like we have them in check, the ultimate definition of success is going to come from pitch selection. So we're going to spend some time today talking about how we can train pitch selection throughout the year and then refrain from doing the cardinal sin as a hitter, and that's getting ourselves out. We know the stats in hitting, 3 out of 10 makes you a Hall of Famer, and hitting is one of the hardest things to do in all of sports. If we can simply refrain from taking that percentage and making sure we don't get ourselves out as a hitter, then we can open ourselves up to have much more success at the plate. And here's what I mean by that. We all know what our hot zone is as a hitter. Most players can handle two-thirds of the plate. Where that is for them is going to be different for each individual. But if we can confine early in the count and up in the count to that two-thirds of home plate, then we're going to have a much greater chance of success. Meaning, if we get a ball in that hot zone, most hitters would tell you that they're going to hit 6 or 7 out of those balls hard out of 10. The percentages say if we're hitting 6 or 7 balls hard out of 10, we're probably getting 4 of those to fall for hits. However, you go outside the fringe of that zone, just a quarter of an inch, and all of a sudden our statistics start to drop dramatically. So if I go on the fringe of the zone and I get out of our hot zone and we're going on pitcher's pitches now, balls that are on either corner, that percentage drops from we're hitting the ball hard 60 to 70% of the time to about 10 to 20%. It's a dramatic drop off. And that's where I say, when we're swinging at those pitches early or up in the count, it's not the pitcher that's getting us out. It's our fault. We've gotten ourselves out. So what we have to do is train hitters in order to figure out what is their hot zone, number one, and then how do we stay in that hot zone during our at-bats through the season. And here's how I do this. Throughout the off-season, when we go from the fall and winter training, I don't spend a great deal of time confining hitters to staying in their hot zone. I want them to explore and figure out what they can handle as a hitter and what they struggle with. So I'll allow them to be more aggressive in their hitting approach and swing at balls even outside of the zone. Get a good understanding of the pitches that they can handle and what they can't. So that when we get into the season and we start working on timing, more moving pitch drills from a greater distance, now we're going to incorporate our approach into all of the drills. So when I go front toss and when I go live and we're preparing for the season or we're doing in-season drills, I want them to use the same approach that they're going to have earlier up in the count in the cage. So now we're talking about pitch selection. When we're hammering balls in that zone, I make a note saying, you understand that we're having balls in your hot zone and you're reaping the success because of it. When we get balls out of that zone, I'll ask the hitter the question, where was that pitch? And I'll have them point to home plate with a bat and show me specifically where they thought that was. So there's feedback. There's give and take with the coach and the player to help them understand what their zone is and if they're staying in it. So we have to be able to train that in order to do it in a game. To get mindless hitting reps in a cage and just work on your swing and work on your timing and then think that players are going to stay in their hot zone within a game setting is ludicrous. They have to have the same training scenario simulated when we get in the cage as well. So in all of the moving pitch drills that we do, once we feel like we've attacked the mechanical side and the timing side, I want to make sure that every moving pitch has a pitch selection piece in it as well. And we talk about that per rep, and we make sure that the hitters maintain their focus throughout the drill series. That's going to be the biggest piece when you're doing 30-minute sessions in a cage with a team or maybe a lesson scenario. You have to maintain a great deal of focus to stay confined in that zone. And we want to err on the side of aggressiveness, of course. But we also want to make sure that players aren't getting into that mindless hit-to-hit mode. So finally, if we can do that in a cage, we can take it out to a game, we'll start to take out those at-bats where we're getting ourselves out, swinging at fringe pitches or pitches out of the zone, and we'll stay confined to that two-thirds of home plate that we consider our hot zone. So the next time you get in the cage in season, let's make sure we're working that pitch selection as well. We have some great drills for it on elitebaseball.tv. Come see us for our Summer Sizzler Special, where we're doing free video analysis for anybody that signs up for the year program. Until next week, I'm Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv, coming to you from the Majestic Coach's Corner, and we'll see you on the field.
Helpful advice, as always, from our good friend Justin Stone with his Majestic Coach's Corner Tip of the Week, brought to you by EliteBaseball.tv. Always wonderful information from Justin as he provides us tips every week to allow us to try to both help our game both physically and mentally. So really appreciate him. Looks like our good friend Rick Strickland from the St. Louis Pirates and his Sandlot Recruitment Tip of the Week are back from vacation. So let's go hear from Rick, as I know he's got some new training tools and training type atmosphere stuff that he's doing over there with his St. Louis Pirates and all of his crew that he trained. So, Rick, why don't you take it away and tell us what's happening?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me back on the show this week. Been out of the loop a little bit on a little short vacation, but I'm glad to be back a little bit. This week, we want to talk a little bit about a new product that we've gotten that we're demonstrating inside of our training facility you know, a lot of times I'd have a lot of technology that we use on the hitting side, and we've invested heavily in some training apparatuses for the pitching side. But this week we actually got a product that we're actually working through the ringers with. It's called Rapsodo. A lot of times when people kind of gauge what type of worth a pitcher may have, it may be done in general terms on pitching velocity and command and how many strikes they go and things like that. But what you see a lot of times on the MLB stations right now is people are talking a lot about spin ratios and accesses and things of that nature. Now we have a little product in the facility that we're actually putting through the ringers called Rapsodo, which is a little bit of box that we stick above the pitching, the catching circle, and we're able to database all pitches that the pitcher's thrown. We can get movements and things like that. Now, why is that important? Well, it really gives us a foundation to kind of measure and experiment with how to get, of course, more velocity, but at the same time, you know, movement on pitches and spin ratios and things like that. When we know what the averages are on the major league side, we can actually start to now train and get young pitchers to get the ball to move and run and things like that, and what they do on the major league side. So it's a unique opportunity for us to kind of look at, take an x-ray of what the ball's doing when the ball's in flight towards the plate and actually start to gear the training program to that. I just wanted to share that. Usually I'm talking about tips and tricks for things like that, but you know, I think the general public has to understand that velocity is not the only thing. It's also the movement of the pitch as well. And once you know what that movement is, I think at this point in time now, you can start to train for that movement. And we're really excited about the new product, and I'll give you some updates as we move through it in the facility. As always, Jim, thanks for having me on the show. Get ready for the end of the summer with the Rick Strickland swing rehab boot camp that we'll do at the end of July. You can check that out on our website at sandlotelite.com and soon to be rickstricklandbaseball.com. Thanks again, Jim. I look forward to speaking to you guys next week.
Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate it. And thank you to all of our guests as they come onto the show each week and try to provide us all both with great information, entertainment, and just generally help us with some of these questions and help us kind of sift through some of the stuff that we're constantly wondering about. Really want to thank all the listeners as well. My Monday Morning Solutions show this week, to say that it opened up a lot of doorways to new listeners would be nothing short of a lie, because I can't believe the number of people that, you know, are in agreement with us. I'm not going to say sadly, because I don't know what I expected, but I didn't hear from any tournament directors. You know, I would have appreciated a tournament director to call me and say, Jim, that's really great, but here's why that's not realistic. Because until we get some of them involved and say, here's the not dangers, but here's the problem with what you're suggesting, okay? Until somebody steps up and says, here it is, we can't say, okay, but what if we did this? So one of the things that I mentioned in my Monday Morning Solution that a lot of coaches very openly and honestly admitted to me was, when they start thinking about the value of their dollar when they play in a tournament, they were all, including myself, very open and honest about the fact that really don't pay that much attention to it. You kind of start setting a schedule. One of the most important things sometimes with schedule is, you know, the weekends that you want to play. That's the first thing. You kind of look at it. I mean, we all do this, right, as coaches. You look at your schedule and you think, okay, this is a weekend I'd like to play. Then you kind of go out and say, okay, what tournaments are available these weekends? Is this a local weekend for me, or is this the weekend I'm thinking about traveling? That stuff all comes into play. I don't know that I've ever paid, you know, and again, I don't mean this like to be goofy, but I don't know that I've ever even looked at how much it costs to play in a tournament. And the reason I don't is because they're all pretty close, right? They're all within $25, $50, okay? Now, if you really think about it, though, what I mentioned that really opened a lot of people's ears is when you start thinking about value for your dollar, let's just say the tournament directors came to you and said, look, you know, for whatever reason, USSSA, Major League Baseball, Little League, Babe Ruth League, Ripken League, whatever it is, they're changing the rules of baseball, so you guys all got to change with it. And those rules are this. Kids can only pitch blah, 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 right? Well, we'd have to have a massive change, because the reason it's going to halt change now is because I guarantee you what some of these directors are saying is, well, if I did what the quote-unquote right thing according to you, Jim, what about all the tournaments that say, we're not doing that? Then all the yahoos would still go to that tournament because they might get six games in or whatever the case may be. So it would have to be a universal change across the board, or I completely understand why guys that make their living doing this, you know, they're not going to stop. They're gonna say, look, it's not my responsibility. The coaches and everybody they should be doing this. It's not my fault the guy doesn't use his whole team to pitch. What am I supposed to do? I'm just putting on a tournament. So I get that part of it, but it doesn't change the fact that we're human beings and we got to look at what's really going on, right? So I think that if you look at it, at $100-something a game, it's still a great value. You know, if you just guarantee everybody three games and a couple of teams play four, I don't understand why that's so bad. You know, again, if you want to chime in here and say, you know, I want to play my regular games and then I want another chance to win the trophy or whatever in bracket play, that's fine. Listen, again, nobody's saying you can't win. Nobody's saying that. We're just saying that that's fine. I would love to go into a weekend saying, you know what, I'm going to play these three games. I'm going to try to win these three games. And if I get to that fourth game, I'll give it everything I got. That's great. But I'm going to show up. I'm going to play my three games. I'm going to throw my three guys. You know, I got my relief guys. I'm ready to go. You know, let's play. Let's see if we can go 3-0. And if we go 2-1 or we don't play well and we go 1-2 or we go 0-3 this weekend because we didn't play well, guess what? We got some stuff to work on. If we go 3-0 and we find ourselves in a championship game, another kid steps up and gets an opportunity to pitch. There's a whole lot of positives to this, and I want to know what the negatives are. And again, the only way I'm going to get some negatives here is if I get some people that completely disagree with me or some tournament directors that want to say, hold on, Jim, great idea, but let me tell you why it doesn't work. Make sure you contact me. info@youthbaseballtalk.com. Love to have the conversation. We can talk about it on off air. If you feel so inclined, I'd love to have you come on and give me your side. Never said everything we talk about on here is gospel or law. Okay, these are ideas, and nothing ever gets changed for the better if you don't talk about it. So would welcome it very much. But I do appreciate all of our support. Of all of our listeners that are catching the Monday Morning Solution show and really turning it into basically just another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. So greatly appreciate it, and can't wait to come back next Monday and enjoy a good Father's Day. Get to watch my older son play this weekend. And, you know, he's of the high school age. He'll be a senior. That's how those tournaments are. They basically are scheduled to play four games, you know. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the top couple of teams play a championship game. And, you know, it takes a lot to get there. And if you get there, you do. But you're talking about rosters in high school of 16 kids. So go get them, you know. I'd like to see it that way. I know you're not going to get a roster of 16 at 10. But I think each team could handle three games. And then, you know, the best teams probably have enough pitchers to pitch that extra game. So that's my thoughts on it. And I'm going to stick to them until somebody proves me wrong. So, you know, from all of us here at Youth Baseball Talk, especially my producer Brian and his intern Stone, who do a lot of great work behind the scenes, I look forward to carrying on our conversation next week and providing you guys with another great guest. I'll see you Monday. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Kids, if you're listening, go up and give your dad a hug for all the time he spends with you guys. My challenge to everybody this weekend is grab a glove, grab a ball, go outside, play catch with your son. It'll be the greatest catch you ever had. See you next week.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.